That's her thing. The green smoothie is my thing. Liston has his thing. What's your thing, again, to add that last 25%? Remember, we're not talking about just this. We have the trigger event. We keep talking about the fireball, which is how they can benefit. And then we talk about that third-party credibility. And then this other stuff, which is not the icing, it's also just as important as those other three things. You got to have it, is this personality. We're just giving you a couple of examples with regards to sending out these direct mails that include these little winks that create these positive emotional connections and make people lean forward, so to speak.
Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Inside Selling Podcast. My name is Liston Witherell. I'm your host. I am here with the superhero, the superstar, the Superman of sales, Josh Braun.
Could I get like just a little more buildup? Wasn't quite enough buildup. I need more buildup.
I'm here with the ruler of the sales universe.
God, geez. All right, let's get too much. Let's go. We got a good one today.
Okay, we do have a good one today. So one complaint we're hearing all the time, Josh, is that it's getting harder and harder to get a response to outbound campaigns in general.
I thought one complaint was you don't tell me you love me as much, like your words of affirmation, or is that I'm talking about something else? That's like my marriage counseling. This is something different we're talking about.
Well, is that the complaint that you have about me?
No, I'm sorry. Yes, the big thing that we do hear is that it is getting harder and harder to be able to get the attention and response rates through cold outreach. I do agree with you on that.
Now tell me, what's your opinion of why that's happening?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons, right? If we take a look at the number of outbound marketing messages that people get on a daily basis, if you live in a major city, it's about close to 1,000. 90 or 95% of those are not memorable. So there's a lot of stuff coming at people at the same time, all the time.
Well, and just to be clear, it's not just marketing messages. It's also all the sales spam, if you will, that we're getting, right? People don't do a good job of prospecting. They put together lists of thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, send them all emails without doing any homework. And so we keep getting this message, I should tune out.
Absolutely. And I think the second thing is, it's never been easier to send lots of communications in a templatized fashion, right? We take a look at pretty much any site and we have 101 cold email templates. We can bring those cold email templates into a tool like Outreach or Yesware, and we can very quickly all start to sound the same. It's never been easier for everybody to sound the same. Everybody can slot in their value proposition into these templates and send them off. And I think that's another huge challenge, is the technology making it easier and the templates all looking the same. Liston, you talk a little bit about this, this idea of banner blindness.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, as we see advertising, think about TV, right? I always think about my grandfather watching TV. As soon as the commercials would start, he'd mute the television and go to sleep for 2 minutes. And he timed it perfectly to wake up after the commercials were over. So he tuned those out effectively, just like on our computer monitors, we're tuning out the advertisements that are part of every page. We don't see those anymore. We're literally blind to them. And that's what's happening with emails in our inbox that we know are not from someone that we know and trust.
Yeah, and it's getting even more interesting. I read about a technology not too long ago called Shakespeare.ai. And this is a technology that's writing what we like to call these 4T emails. So these are emails that have a trigger event. Hey, I noticed something about you on your site or your blog post or some kind of company event. Here's how we can help you do that, you know. So here's a statement that ladders back to it. Here's how we might help. Here's some third-party credibility. Do you want to talk? So that's a very typical sort of sales formula that people are using in cold outreach. And now we're starting to see things like Shakespeare.ai writing emails like that and starting to send them, which is again making it more and more difficult to break through, to this point of it's getting easier to send things that are all looking the same.
Well, and so, and to that point about Shakespeare, at the same time as all this stuff is happening and people are getting more messages and, you know, other people are sending more and more messages and the volume is going up and we're starting to tune them out, at the same time that's happening, it's never been easier to do homework about the person you want to communicate with and make it ultra personal to them. And so, you know, those things are kind of offsetting, but That's happening. A lot of people aren't taking advantage of it. And that would be one way to stand out. But another way to stand out, and the one way that we want to talk about today, is really about being different. Like, I can't, you know, this is like Seth Godin's purple cow. If I look like every other cow in the pasture, right, and someone's looking onto the pasture, which one do you look at? They all look the same. But if there's a purple cow, you're just going to stare at that one. It doesn't look like the others. So how do you think that might work in emails, Josh?
How do you become the purple cow? How do you stand out in an email box? So let's talk about it a little bit. So there's four parts to this, right? So you mentioned this idea of personalization. I like to call it relevance. So that's part number one, relevance. And so we like to start all emails with something that we noticed about the prospect or the prospect's business, what we call often called a trigger event, that can ladder back to how we might help. So for instance, our business, it might be that we noticed you're doing business with X, Y, and Z companies, which are all financial services companies in Fortune 500, would be our trigger event. And that's going to ladder back to the second part of the email, which is, you know, how we might be able to help. We noticed that you are doing business with these companies. We can help you get more business with companies like that. So the first two parts of this sequence, the first two parts of the four parts, one, the trigger event, and two, what we call the fireball, which is how you might be able to help that person relating to that trigger event.
And then the second two parts, obviously, one, we have to be able to prove what we're saying a little bit. And so that proof point comes in that third party credibility that you mentioned already. But the last part, the fourth part, is personality. How can I showcase myself? How can I maybe make this person laugh? How can I seem like a human being that this person could relate to?
Absolutely. And those are the four parts. We're going to talk a lot about part number four, because if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you should be very familiar with those first three parts, right? So what does it sound like? Hey, was on your site and noticed that you've been doing business with XYZ companies in the financial services sector. We have an idea that may help you get more meetings with other people in that financial services sector. It's what we did for companies X, Y, and Z, and we were able to get them 20% more meetings within 45 days. So that's sort of part number one, two, and three, that if you're sending emails in a relevant way, that's sort of best practices today. And that's sort of table stakes, right? Like, that's just the cost of entry. You have to be doing that. It has to be personalized and relevant to the person's business, and you're linking a trigger. Another trigger that we talk about a lot is a technology trigger. So you've noticed that they are using Marketo, or you've noticed that they are using Salesforce or Pardot, and you have a ancillary service that can help them, you know, do something better as it relates to the technology. Or you've noticed something about them in the press or a merger or acquisition. So this idea of having a trigger and then how you relate and your offering to that trigger and then third-party credibility, that's table stakes, people. That's like the first three parts. Then we get into the fourth part, which is where you're going to be able to stand out. And to Liston's point, we're talking about having a little personality and making somebody smile. Now, let's talk about different ways you can make people smile and give you some tangible examples. And a lot of the stuff that we're going to be talking about is really informed by a guy that I've been following a lot lately that we're actually fortunate enough to have on the podcast shortly, a guy by the name of John Buchan, B-U-C-H-A-N, and we've been using a lot of his approaches and sort of making it our own. But definitely check out John's work.
Charmoffensive.com.
Yeah, Charmoffensive, Charmoffensive.com. So one of the things that we do is right away when we actually start to, you know, send somebody something, we say, hey, maybe we should start with not a cold email, not a phone call, but a direct mail.
Oh my God, why would we do that, Josh?
So imagine that you have like a blue or a red envelope. This would be for your tier one accounts. Obviously, we're talking about the quality versus quantity here. We're talking about your tier ones. Imagine we have a blue envelope and we handwrite the name of the person on there. And we start off the email saying something like this. This is just an example.
A direct mail, not the email.
I'm sorry, yeah, a direct mail.
Yes.
Let's say it says, hey, we start off in a brutally honest way by saying something like, you know, greetings, Tyler. You don't know me. I'm Josh. I found your contact details by using a LinkedIn Chrome extension. Congratulations on being the chosen one. And listen, what that does is it sort of is a sort of brutal, honest thing that people really aren't used to. And a lot of people will read that and be like, well, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, that's truth. That's sort of truthful and honest. So
well, I think, what it does, Josh? I think it just right off the bat, in a humorous and fun way, acknowledges exactly what the person is thinking. Who the hell is this? Why am I getting this? And you're like, hey, I built a list. You're on it. Awesome. Congratulations. High five, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, John does a similar one in his. It's like, I got your name from Gasp, a list. Congratulations on being list worthy. You know, so it's almost like taking something that you think is a negative and turning it into a positive. And that sort of little wink and little smile is something very different, because people are always used to you leading with the, I noticed that had this article on X, Y, and Z and B, Y, and F. So being able to have a line there that's a little brutally honest is interesting. Something else I don't know if you picked up on is, instead of saying hi or hello, even that word can make a difference. Like we said, greetings, salutations, shalom, how do you do, howdy. You know, these are all words that are a little bit more personal, a little bit more personable rather, and show a little bit more humanity rather than, you know, hi or hello.
Well, and I think they stand out, right? They're truly different. And then, you know, another thing that we've done, Josh, is, and this was your idea, was to insert a photo of some sort or an image in this direct mail campaign. And the one that I chose was a picture of a koala sitting in a tree with its mouth wide open and a leaf hanging out of its mouth, looking like it was shocked or surprised. And so in my direct mail piece, what I put, you know, I talked about why I'm sending this, who I am, what the fireball that I could provide, some third-party credibility. But then at the bottom, it says, I've included a picture of a koala that looks as surprised as I am that you're still reading this, but that has absolutely nothing to do with this offer.
Yeah, I love that. So I did a similar approach. So I'll read you my sort of phrase from my direct mail. Again, to our tier one accounts, you know, so I said, if you're even the slightest bit interested in new perspectives for increasing cold outreach response, let's talk. I'll be happy to provide you with a few ideas of varying quality you can steal. And if you play your cards right, I may even share a recipe for my famous OMG smoothie enclosed. According to everyone, it's the best smoothie they've ever had. I trust this will charm you into responding. And then included in there is essentially a picture of my wife holding the smoothie that says the OMG smoothie, along with her nail polish, which happens to be Merlot color. But that, and then it actually shows, would you like the recipe? Text OMG to my phone number. And then I actually put my phone number on the photo.
Now, one thing to point out here is you genuinely love green smoothies. This is not a joke. Right? You
right.
Actually love smoothies. And so if someone responded to that and talked to you about, you know, texted you, give me your OMG, give me your green smoothie recipe, you'd have a lot to say about it, right? How you came to perfect that and what it meant to you. Same thing with the koala thing, right? That was very true to my personality. Like, that is a joke I would make to someone on the phone or in an email or like in a real interaction. It really was me. It was genuine. And that jumps off the page.
I think you're making a really good point. You can't steal these. So, you know, this isn't something you say, oh, I'm going to use a green smoothie. To your point, listen, it has to be really, you know, true to you. You know, a client that we're working with is using a similar approach where she got a response, positive response from her prospect. And she said, you know, included is a recipe for the best chocolate chip cookies you've ever had, along with a photo of a pug that agrees. And she actually has the picture of the pug. And out of the caption of the pug's mouth, it says, these chocolate chip cookies taste almost as good as increasing revenue feels. And on the back is actually the recipe to her famous chocolate chip cookies, the actual recipe included on the back of that photo. So again, that's her thing. The green smoothie is my thing. Liston has his thing. What's your thing? Again, to add that last 25%. Remember, we're not talking about just this. We have the sort of trigger event. We keep talking about the fireball, which is how we can benefit, how they can benefit. And then we talk about that third-party credibility. And then this other stuff, which is not the icing, It's also just as important as those other three things. You got to have it, is this personality. We're just giving you a couple of examples with regards to sending out these direct mails that include these little winks that create these positive emotional connections and make people, you know, lean forward, so to speak.
Well, you know what it's kind of like is I think about Apple and how they package their products, right? The box that the iPhone comes in has no impact on what it's like to use your iPhone. But the experience of opening that package and the care that's been put into it's like it you love it, right? And so now everybody else copies that. And in a very similar way, when we talk about having personality or being humorous or being somewhat entertaining while still delivering the core experience that we want to give to people, which is making them aware of how we might be able to help them and why, we're packaging it in such a way that makes them so much more open to what's inside.
Totally. And this stuff really results in revenue, guys. So there's a you guys can Google this, a guy by the name of Joe Garvey. He's the CEO of Clash, and he wears very loud pants. You can Google this guy. They're like tie-dye pants. He wears them everywhere. He was in a Starbucks. He was wearing the pants. He was approached by someone who said, nice pants. They got into a conversation. The person said, what do you do? He said, I run scavenger hunts for companies to bring people together. She goes, wow, that sounds amazing. I work for Google. P.S. I think he landed like a $40,000 or $50,000 contract. If he wasn't wearing those pants, that conversation would probably have never happened. So this stuff really matters in terms of creating emotional connections with people and separating yourself in the inbox and through direct mail.
And sure, he had the loud pants, but he still had an offer. He still had value to bring to her organization. He still had to run a sales process. This doesn't take care of all of that for you, right? This is a way to start a conversation and stand out of the crowd. So another thing we like, Josh, is this over-the-top threat. And I know you're huge on this video that Wistia published about one of their reps and someone who missed a meeting. So we're going to go ahead and play that for you now.
Hey, George, you stood me up for a call this afternoon, so I had to bring in the big guns over here.
Hi, George. Is this going to be a habit?
George, I'm really disappointed, but I put my calendar at the end if you want to reschedule or if you want to stand me up again. Either works, but hopefully we can chat with the lion soon. Rawr.
Yeah, so an over-the-top threat. We're talking now about, well, how can I be funny in my communications in a way that's sort of yet a little professional, right? We obviously don't want to talk about anything, you know, crude. So we're going to go through some ideas for you. And one of them is this over-the-top threat. And as you heard in that Wistia, and if you saw it, the gentleman in that video was a kind of a big guy. And she delivered the message in a very charming way. So rather than saying, you know, you missed this meeting, they send that video. And it's just, it makes people smile, and it's a point of reference and talking with, which is really important. I mean, I know we talked about the guy with the pants. I did something with these unusual loud socks. And, you know, just a couple months ago, I reached out to a client that had done business with me 5 years ago and congratulated him on his new job. And he said, hey, it's been 5 years. Are you still wearing loud socks? I mean, these are things that people just don't forget. There's a famous quote by, I think, Maya Angelou, people never forget how you make them feel. And it's so true. These things become things how you make people feel, and they don't forget them, and they sort of work their way through the sales cycle even 4 or 5 years later. It's real powerful stuff.
So another way to kind of stand out on the note of humor too is this idea of the rule of three. So Josh, you've talked about this a lot, and I'm going to share something that I actually stole from you just today. And so the rule of three basically says you have something that's expected, another thing that's expected, and then something totally unexpected. So in this case, I had a new LinkedIn connection, which, by the way, we are huge on LinkedIn. If you haven't heard it yet, go back and listen to the episode with Dylan Hay on social selling that we did about a week or two ago. But I was on LinkedIn, had a new connection, and Josh, this was your idea. Rather than pitching anybody on LinkedIn, ask how you can help. And so the way I did that, I said, thanks for connecting. Is there anything I can do to help you? Just curious, are you looking for intros to anyone out there, strategic partners, prospects, or birthday clowns? ? If I could help with an intro or some free content or resources, just let me know. And the guy got right back to me, it looks like within about 10 minutes, and he says, "Hi, Liston, no need for birthday clowns. We can handle this ourselves." Smiley
so
face.
I love that. And I think that the big takeaway, and obviously we're talking about personality, but I really want you to listen to that, the most important thing there with what Liston did. And it is trying to be helpful without trying to pitch. So what's helpful for someone? So three things, right? Hey, I notice what you're doing and I have some clients that might be interested in that. The second thing is we might have some connections that I can introduce you to that might be interested in that thing you sell. The third thing might be, hey, we work with lots of companies like you that were in similar situations, and we've got some ideas that might be of help to you. But again, this is not under the pretense of selling anything. This is under the pretense of starting a conversation with someone and seeing if you can establish some sort of back and forth and energy, rather than saying, let's jump on a call. You want to get to these little tiny yeses. This is a very important point. So make it easy to say yes. You know, that communication that Liston said makes it really easy to say yes. And then maybe Liston sends a couple other things and it makes it easy to say yes. And then maybe after a while, it's like, hey, does it make sense to jump on a call? And because he's got these little yeses already, the bigger sort of yes is much easier. What most people do is they go for the big yes right out the gate. And especially on LinkedIn or any other channel, it's really tough. It's almost like asking someone if you can meet their parents on the first date. So take it easy and try to think of these micro yeses where you are giving, and not getting.
So let's talk about one more way that people can display their personality and maybe use a little bit of humor, and that's the wildly opposite response. Josh, I think you have an example prepped for this, and it's one way to really, defy expectations and surprise people.
Yeah, so imagine you're sending people a chain of emails, which you do. You have to send, 5, 6, 7 emails. And so here's a wildly opposite response might be, hey, James, how's it going? You've no doubt been eagerly awaiting for my next email. Sorry, I've been a bit behind sending unsolicited emails. Smiley face. So that's a wildly opposite response, right? Because he's probably not waiting and he probably isn't a little bit taken back by, yeah, this is unsolicited email. So again, a wildly opposite response. What's something that people expect and what's the opposite that you can do in an email is another way to sort of interject a little personality into your communications.
So the other one that I love that you've used in the past, Josh, is you said something to the effect of, once you say how you can help the person, at the end of it, you say, so if this sounds interesting at all, please email me. I don't have time to meet with you over the phone.
Right. That's another good one. Another good one is after you do the sort of third party credibility and you say, we help companies X, Y, and Z, in parentheses, if you're the sales rep, for clarity, when I say we, I mean people much smarter than me. I have no idea how we do it, but do what we do.
Right.
Again, it's a little honesty. It's a little, it's real and it makes people smile. But I know what some people out there are probably thinking. They're like, do these kind of gimmicks really work? So rather than us trying to tell you they work, what we want to do is just share with you responses that we've received from people, which we'll just sort of read to you a little bit from either the responses that we've received from a sales DNA perspective or our clients, have received. So, I'll just read a couple of them out loud to you. This is ones that Liston got. It's, I'm probably not the first to say this, Liston, but your outreach was very creative. Happy to discuss with you about increasing my team's response rates. I have availability this afternoon at 3:30. Does that work for you?
Boom.
And here's another one. Right through LinkedIn Messenger. Hey, Josh, looked at your profile. CEO got your direct mail and really thought it was a creative approach with the photo. And I'd really like to learn more about what you do. A client. Hey, client name. Hope you had a good holiday. Got your card in the mail. I respect the hustle. CCing blank our blank guru who would be happy to have a conversation with you. Now, here's something interesting. One of these people I was on the phone with for an initial sales, an initial conversation. I don't know if it's relevant for how we can help or whatever. We're having an initial talk. And I asked him, what was it about the outreach that got your attention? And I recorded what he said. We're going to play it for you right now.
It was like, I never take meetings via email, but this is a hilarious email, so I had to take it. I thought it was kind of ironic because I always tell the team, like, don't ask questions in the email, except for the last question, which is, you know, are you open to having a conversation with us? And then your email had like a response because it said, I sent you something in the air. You don't know me. Like, I got your email from a LinkedIn list building tool. That kind of made me laugh. It's just, you know, transparency is obviously, it can be used as humor, which I think is cool. And then you kind of threw in the Spanish, asking if I want to play the Spanish guitar. Some things that made me like very willing to have the conversation was that you said up front or kind of at the end, like, I promised to give you two ideas that might be able to help the team. Even if like that's all you get out of the conversation, then that's a benefit. And you've definitely done that. So, you know, I think that was something that I said to the team. It's like, why don't, like, we should have the same type of strategy sometimes, sending emails that are going to make people laugh and then telling them, hey, at a minimum, like, you'll get this out of our call. You don't have to go into a deep dive in a demo of our product necessarily, but, you know, we may be able to provide some insight. So, yeah, I liked the email. It made me laugh, and I shared it with the team, and I think a couple of them have used it and gotten meetings already from it. So.
Wow, I cannot believe the amount of energy in that guy's voice when he was talking about the outreach. I mean, it's interesting. When we do this, you always wonder, how big of a risk am I taking? Is this going to work? What are people going to think? And then to hear the amount of energy in that person's voice is really, really amazing.
Yeah. Another objection we get a lot is, and we heard this actually during the last webinar, which was, hey, if everyone's doing this, isn't it going to have the same sort of fatigue with cold email that we have now? I'll start with that response. Then, listen, you can pile on. Chances are, you're not emailing the same people that everybody else is emailing, right? Like, chances are you're hearing about this, and if you decide to use it, chances are not everybody that's listening to this is going to email John Smith. But there's a lot of people in this world, and chances are John Smith isn't going to just, you know, be hearing, you know, the same thing from everybody.
Yeah, totally. There's a good chance that they've never seen any communication like this. And also, the reason that's the case and the reason we can say pretty much with 100% certainty that is the case is other people are thinking what you are. Is it okay to have a sense of humor? Is it okay to have personality? Is it okay to be slightly informal in my communications, even with the CEO, even with the Fortune 100, 500, 1000 company? The answer is yes, it is okay. The answer is also yes, it may be a small risk, but people want to do business with people, period.
Yeah, and it's also a risk not to do it, because if you don't do it, you're sort of in the sea of the same. Right, so if you start hearing yourself think, well, what if, I ask you to kind of stop that mindset and start to think, why not? Why not try this for a while and see what happens? And the worst thing that could happen is someone could say, please stop emailing me. And that's not terrible. That's not the worst thing, but the feedback that we're getting, even when people are not ready to meet, has been, you know, overwhelmingly positive, because I think you know, people don't lose their personalities and their sense of humor when they come into work.
Yeah, and if you're not sure if this would work for you, or if you're thinking maybe this would work for me, or if you're thinking I need some guidance on this, we would love to help you out. The reason we record this podcast is we genuinely want awesome people to do better at what they do. And so one thing that we can do for you is if you go to salesdna.co/apply, we'd be happy to talk to you about how to implement this in your organization.
Yeah, we'd be happy to jump on a call with you and learn a little bit about what you're doing and help you craft communications that have these four parts in them, right? A series of communications consisting of direct mail, LinkedIn, email, video, that have these triggers, these fireballs, third party, and your unique personality, show you how to execute this stuff, show you how to monitor it. And so if you're curious about that, salesdna.co/, what was it listed?
Apply. A-P-P-L-Y, apply.
And what you'll do is you'll see a link to our Calendly. It's a 30-minute call. It's completely free. And if nothing else, you will walk away with some ideas that you could take away that you can sort of steal and implement right away. And so again, salesdna.co/apply.
And not just some ideas, ideas of varying quality.
Right. Some of them might be absolutely terrible.
Well, Josh, I think we've covered it.
I think you've said it all, Liston.
Wonderful. Well, good to see you. See you all soon. Bye.